You get it in Tenderleaf brand tea at the same low pre-war price. That's good news, cause for celebration, because you'll be drinking more tea now. And all through the hot weather, you can economize, cool off the thrifty way. The best part of it is that this low price applies to the tea that Ice made famous. It's famous for flavor Tenderleaf tea, exactly what iced tea calls for. The more flavor you have to start with, the more pleasure you'll find in your glass. So get Tenderleaf tea. It's more than a match for the melting ice. All through the month of June, grocers are featuring Tenderleaf tea. When you see those displays, stock up. Ask your grocer for Tenderleaf brand tea. It's still the same low pre-war price.
It isn't Jinx and Tex, Kitty.
The makers of Tenderleaf Tea and Shepherd Teas present the Fred Allen Show with Fred's guests, Ozzie and Harriet, Portland Hopper, Minerva Pius, Peter Donald, Parker Fenley, the DeMarco sisters, Al Goodman, his orchestra, and my name is Kenny Delmar. Ladies and gentlemen, to celebrate Father's Day, we bring you a man who, for the next half hour, will make things pop. And here he is, oh. Fred Allen!
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Kenny, I heard that, your opening remark there. Rather a dank get-off, I must say. I heard you say Father's Day, and here is a man who will make things pop. Tell me, frankly, where did you get that gag?
Well, yeah. A friend of mine used to be an epitaph writer, and last week he became a gag writer.
Oh, he wrote that Father's Day will make things pop, Joe?
Yes, friend.
Kenny, your friend is still an epitaph writer. I have seen jokes die, but this one was too quick for me, brother. As you open, that's the sponsor, don't mind. As you try to set the trend, you know, about that joke dying, Kenny, as you opened your mouth, I looked in, that joke was on your tongue, lying in state. Well, after this, old boy, the gags will be told by...
Mr. Allen!
Well, of course. Portland, you just missed it. Kenny started the program with an hilarious joke about Father's Day.
Animals don't respect their fathers on Father's Day.
Well, really? How do you know?
I saw a little puppy today.
Yeah?
And he was licking his paw.
Licking his paw on... on Father's Day. Well, tell me, where did you get that lackluster rejoinder? Wait, let the few literate people... lackluster monstrosity, I might say.
Fred McKinney's used to be an epitaph writer.
Enough, I heard about the party. He'd better send some pallbearers around and carry his two gags off the premises. Tell me, Portland, what's new this week?
Well, Mama took me to see Roy Rogers' Circus. It's wonderful.
Oh, really?
Thunderhead, Slicket, and Smokey are appearing in person.
Three horses, eh?
Oh, they have to have three.
Well, why?
Everybody knows New York is not a one-horse town.
Well, New York only has one mayor. Yes, you see, that epitaph writer wrote that in when no one was looking. What other attractions does Roy Rogers have?
Well, he has one man, Montana Max.
Montana Max, huh? Cowboy?
He jumps from a horse onto a steer.
Watch that ad-libbing. I mean, don't throw me. don't throw the script away, you know.
He jumps from a horse onto a steer's back.
Yeah.
Then he wrestles the steer all over the ground until he throws it.
Gosh.
Montana Max couldn't appear, though.
No.
He had four ribs broken.
Oh, throwing the steer?
No, going up to the polo grounds in the subway.
Well, that'll do. See, just imagine old Roy Rogers with his own circus. You know, I used to know him when it was Rogers and Hammerstein, way back. What else is new, Portland?
An archaeologist says that 18 centuries before Columbus discovered America, the Phoenicians were here.
Oh, that's ridiculous. What makes you think the Phoenicians were in this country?
If they weren't here, who made all those Phoenician wines?
I enjoyed that. I just take time out now while I revel in that one. Tell me, what are you... While you're giving that joke back to Kenny's friend, the epitaph writer, I've heard about him. He won't say anything good about you unless you're lying down. He's a real old... I think I'll start for Allen's Alley, Portland.
What is your question tonight?
Well, recently a food authority reported that American cooking was becoming increasingly popular in other parts of the world. And so our question is, do you think American cooking is the best in the world?
Shall we go?
As Johnny said on the Philip Morris program, I think it's time to make my call. It's sure good to be back in Allen's Alley, Portland. Say, I guess the senator's home all right. Look, his mule has his shoes off. He's relaxing in the hammock. Can't tell the mule from the senator, except the senator doesn't wear harness. Well, let's knock.
I see somebody prodded my panel.
Well, yes.
Claghorn's the name. Senator Claghorn, that is.
Why, you been away, Senator?
Well, I was up in Canada with little old Harry.
Yeah.
Son, I never seen such a welcome. As we crossed into Canada and they fired that 21-gun salute,
yes.
Tears come to my eyes.
Tears?
All that shooting reminded me of my wedding day.
What did you do in Canada, Senator?
I went up to that city that was founded by a Southerner.
A city in Canada founded by a Southerner?
Montreal.
Huh.
Yeah, I seen some of them Northwest Mounted Police.
Yeah.
I sent regards to Nelson Eddy.
Yeah. Really glad to hear from you. You must have had some trips.
Yeah, well, Canada is the farthest un-south I've ever been.
Oh, really?
It sure opened my eyes.
Canada did?
I thought animals was running the country. They got people up there.
Well, this will be news to a lot of folks. Tell me, Senator, what is your reaction to American cooking?
Well, son, the South used to have the best cooking in the world.
Used to have?
Since 1929, we in the South ain't been able to cook.
Well, what happened in 1929?
Well, Herbert Hoover said, I'll put a chicken in every pot.
And since 1929, nobody in the South has had any chickens?
Son, since 1929, nobody in the South has had a pot.
Well, go on. Well, I guess the senator was trying to pull my leg on. Well, let's see how Mr. Moody reacts.
Howdy, Bob.
Well, Mr. Moody, how do you feel about American cooking?
Why, if it wasn't for cooking, I'd be a single man today.
Oh, really? What happened?
Well, when I was young and full of blare and gobble...
Yeah?
Why, I owned the only beaded pocketbook in Hoosick Falls.
The only beaded pocketbook, huh?
Yeah. Girls was always inviting me to parties.
Well, why?
Why, when we'd play post office, a girl would call my number...
Yeah?
I'd go out into the dark hall.
Uh-huh.
She'd ask me to light a match and show her my beaded pocketbook.
Oh, I see. Didn't you like any of the girls?
Well, one was a looker.
Yeah?
Her name was Serena.
Uh-huh.
She was slung together mighty nice.
Yeah?
I says, you for me, sister.
Way, Mr. Moody.
Well, sir, after we'd been keeping company for about 9 years,
yeah.
One night Serena says, she says, Titus, you can lean your head back on my antimacassar anytime.
Serena was getting serious, eh? Well, what were your intentions?
My intentions was honorable, but remote.
Oh, I... Fine.
Next night, Serena, she says, surprise, Titus.
Yeah?
I cooked you up a bean tansy.
A bean tansy, yeah?
Yeah. It was the first pudding Serena ever cooked.
I see.
Well, I ate the bean tansy and drunk 2 crocks of crab apple cider.
Yeah?
Next thing I know, pain started shooting through my innards.
Yeah?
I doubled up and slipped out of my chair.
Well, how did you get married?
Well, I was kneeling on the floor.
Yes?
Serena thought I was proposing.
Proposing?
I let out a moan. Serena says, I do.
Tell me, how is Serena's cooking today?
Since that bean tansy, Serena's only cooked one thing.
One thing?
Yeah, my goose. So long, Bob.
Well, let's try this next, though.
How to do this.
Ah, Mrs. Nussbaum. Say, that is a mighty pretty gown you have on there.
Oh, thank you. It's mine cocktail dress.
Oh, cocktail dress?
On the sleeve, you can see the olive stain.
Oh, I see. Well, I didn't know you went to cocktail parties.
We had only living once, Nussbaum.
Oh, that's...
Well, why not then joining? C'est la vie.
C'est la vie.
Life is only a deep breath. You are exhaling, it is gone.
How true. Well, Mrs. Nussbaum, how do you feel about American cooking?
You could eat in by any other nationality cooking.
Uh-huh.
Ultimately, if it's something American, you are finishing the meal.
Finishing the meal? Well, how do you mean?
Well, you are eating Italian, veal scallopinkas.
Veal scallopinkas. Yes.
You are eating Chinese, egg foo yanko.
Egg foo yanko.
Or you're eating Mexican enchiladas.
Uh-huh.
You are eating French, crepe la Suzette.
Crepe la Suzette. No matter what country's food you eat...
Always you are concluding the meal with something American.
And the something American is...
Alka-Seltzer. Thank you.
Bring us a little grandma tub of candy at the end of the alley. Well, let's arouse Mr. Cassidy. Well, Mr. Cassidy, how are you tonight?
Oh, terrible, terrible, terrible. Oh, my right leg is so heavy, I can't lift it up.
Your right leg is heavy?
Oh, it's full of iron, pig iron.
Oh, that's silly, Ajax. How can your system get full of pig iron?
I've been eating pork chops.
Oh.
Ajax, like the Pepsodent Summer Show, you are hopeless.
I'm not long for this world.
Well, tell me, Mr. Cassidy, how do you feel about American cooking?
American cooking, says you. The only Native American food is the hot dog, the hamburger, the Eskimo pie, and the popsicle.
Well, I know that.
The great American stomach is becoming nothing but a repository for Howard Johnson. Me boy, the hot dog and the hamburger made me what I am today.
And what are you today?
A vegetarian.
A vegetarian?
Oh, the Irish are all vegetarians.
You mean they have no meat?
The only steaks we have in Ireland are the sweepstakes.
But,
the poor man's favorite food is the potato. Ah, the Irish avocado.
Yes. And you say that you are a vegetarian?
I'm a true vegetarian, me boy.
What is that?
Well, a true vegetarian is a man who will order a beautiful boiled salmon just to get the little sprig of parsley on the salmon's stomach.
And you are a true vegetarian?
Oh, to me sorrow, to me sorrow. I carried me vegetarian tendencies too far.
How?
I married an old tomato. Good boy.
Hated by Al Goodman and his employees, the DeMarco sing, I do like you, girl.
I don't like men. Women, I don't like you. Do I like anyone? I don't, but I do like you. Do. I don't like milk. Spinach, I don't like to. I don't like anything that's good for me, but I do like you. Am I mad? No, just my attitude has always been very unconventional. Do I care? No, if you think I am strange, it is intentional. I don't like men. Women, I don't like to. I think that I don't even like myself. Maybe silly, but it's true. Maybe you're the one exception. I do like you. I don't like men. Women, I don't like to.
I think that I don't even
like myself. It's silly, but it's true. Maybe you're the one exception. After all is said and done, I do like you, you're the one.
To remind you about an important topic. One topic that never loses its fascination is good food and how to enjoy it. This is pleasant news for all you women who've been saying food bills are so high, or I do wish things would come down. Shepherd cheese has come down from 17 to 24 cents a pound. Yes, you get more for your money now when you say Shepherd. Shepherd for fine cheese. Shepherd has made it possible for you to save money on that fine body-building protein food, cheese. That's certainly satisfying news to all you people who are turning to Shepherd cheese for quality, for flavor, for really fine eating. And just remember this new reason to look for Shepherd when you shop for cheese to melt or spread or slice. And here it is. Prices on Shepherd cheese are lower. You save from 17 to 24 cents on every pound. So stock up on Shepherd cheese in half-pound or two-pound packages and on Shepherd cream spreads in glass. Remember, you save money every time you say Shepherd. S-H-E-F-F-O-R-D. Shepherd for fine cheese.
Since Maestro Goodman started playing these abbreviated numbers, all of his fan mail arrives written in shorthand. And now, ladies and gentlemen, yes, Portland?
This mail just came.
Fan mail coming in as we're acting here, going along? Well, what is it?
This first postcard says, Mr. and Mrs. Dolan-Paul of Far Rockaway are celebrating their golden wedding at Patty's Clam House.
Yeah.
Please play the anniversary song.
Well, wait a minute. We don't play requests on this program, Portland. Send that over to Jack Eigen at the Copacabana. Tell me, what are those other postcards you have there?
Oh, they're vacation cards from Jack Benny, Bob Hope, and Red Skelton.
Gosh, do I envy those fellows, those chaps, Portland. Benny, Skelton, and Bob Hope, all away enjoying their vacation.
Are you going away this year?
Not me. I learned my lesson last summer.
What happened?
Well, last June, I saw an ad in the newspaper. Quiet, restful room in lovely suburban home. We'll rent for 1 month, $50. Right, Mr. Oswald Nelson, 1847 Rogers Road. Well, the ad read wonderful. So I wrote to Mr. Nelson, and 2 days later, I started out for 1847 Rogers Road.
Yes, Harriet.
Ozzie, the postman just left this letter. It's for you.
Oh, for me? Who's it from?
Well, the return address says F. Allen, NBC, until July 1st. After that, make me an offer.
NBC. Who do I know at the National Biscuit Company? Dear Mr. Nelson, arriving Monday afternoon.
Harriet, it worked, it worked.
Ozzie, what are you...
Darling, what is it you've been dreaming about? What is it you wanted more than anything else?
Fingernail polish that'll stay on.
No. I mean the trailer Mr. Thornberry's been trying to sell us for $50.
Ozzie, we have...
Now we can take that camping trip we planned at Lake Tahatchapuku.
I don't get it.
Well, it's simple economics. We need $50. David and Ricky are away at camp. Their room is empty. I put an ad in the paper. Hey, Mr. F. Allen wants to rent a room. When we get Mr. F. Allen's $50, the trailer is ours, and it's Lake Tahatchapuku. Here we come.
Ozzie, you're mad. Bringing a complete stranger into our home? A man from NBC yet.
I thought... Harriet, $50.
Ozzie Nelson, you are not turning our home into a motel.
Oh, Harriet, forget the commercial side of it. Think of the humanitarian side. The housing shortage. This poor, decrepit old man. Holding his feeble hands out to us for a haven. Harriet, we can't deny.
Well, Ozzie, for a whole month...
Chin up, Harriet. We'll get the trailer. This must be Mr. Allen's house.
Well, before you open the door, Ozzie, let me peek at him through the window.
Well? What happened here? You're trembling.
Ozzie, he looks like the ghost of John Carradine.
Coming.
Pardon me, is Mr. Oswald Nelson in?
Yes, I'm Mr. Nelson. You must be Mr. F. Allen.
Fred Allen, you received my letter?
Yes, won't you come in, please?
Thank you. Ah, this is what I like. This house has such a home-like atmosphere for a motel.
Motel? I beg your pardon.
Harry, this is my wife, Mr. Allen, Harry. I mean, this is my, Harry, Mr. Allen.
How do you do, all of you? How do you do? And now, folks, before I make any decision, may I see the room you advertise?
Oh, you'll love it, Mr. Allen.
Yes.
It's large and roomy.
Ozzie, I still don't like the
Harriet,
idea.
Please.
But, Ozzie, a man from NBC in our children's room.
Mr. Allen, excuse me. I want to talk to my wife.
Oh, surely. What a lovely conch shell you have here on the highball.
Darling, after all, remember the trailer. The second honeymoon at Lake Tahatchapuku.
Oh, okay. Fozzie, why don't you show Mr. Allen the room?
Oh, good girl, I will. This way, Mr. Allen.
Oh, thank you.
You can bring the conch shell with you, I
see. Oh, thank you. I'm listening to the ocean.
Right in here.
Small noise. The Dead Sea, I think, was it. This is the room?
Yes. Be careful of those rollers. Just climb over that bicycle.
Yes.
I'll have those turtles taken out of the bathtub, of course, and that bubble gum will all be scraped off the pillows, and the tom-toms will be taken off the bed.
My, this room looks so restful, Mr. Nelson. I'll take it. This is just a place to soothe my jangled nerves.
Yes, you do look jumpy.
Yes.
Do you always shake like that?
Yes, I'm on the radio.
Oh?
I have my own program every Sunday night.
Oh, you have?
Yes.
Funny.
Mm-hmm.
We tune in every Sunday night.
Yes.
Said your name is Felix Alfred?
No. It's Allen.
Fred Allen.
No, not Felix. Fred Allen.
Fred Allen.
Fred Allen.
Sunday, first we listen to Jack Benny.
Yes.
Then Phil Harris.
Yes.
Then Charlie McCarthy.
And then?
And then we have dinner. And after dinner, we listen to the Manhattan merry-go-round.
Oh, you do. Mr. Nelson, some night during dinner, if you leave your radio on loud enough and you're not eating celery, you may hear my program.
Well, I doubt it. We have celery every Sunday. But you look rather tired.
Mr. Nelson, one thing before you go.
Yes, Mr. Allen.
Do you rent this room, American Plan?
American Plan? Sir, I'll have you know everything in this house is American. During the war, I was an air raid warden. I buy a bond a week. I have a picture of President Truman on our piano. Our flag is out every holiday.
Then the room is?
It certainly is American Plan.
Well, fine. Here's the $50 for my month's rent.
Thank you. Well, here's the key. For the back door, you can let yourself in.
I'll be very careful. Thank you.
Harriet.
Yes, is everything all settled?
Yes, it is. You know, for a second, I felt like throwing this $50 in Mr. Allen's face. He had the nerve to ask me if his room was American Plan. Questioning my patriotism, me, an Eagle Scout.
Well, dear, American Plan. American Plan means we have to give him his meals with the room. Ozzy, you didn't.
Harriet, I did.
Oh, three meals a day, and the price of meat going up every minute.
Oh, but after all, how much can he eat? He's in radio. He must have an ulcer. We'll see when he comes down to breakfast tomorrow.
Yeah, he does have that mush and hot milk look.
And maybe he doesn't eat at all. Like the camels who consume their humps. He can probably live a week on one of those bags under his eyes. Darling, I'm taking this $50 next door to pay Thornberry for that trailer. Lake Tahatchapuku, here we come.
Good morning, folks.
Good morning, Mr. Allen.
Oh, up early, aren't you, Mr. Allen?
Yes, I didn't want to miss breakfast.
Oh, fine. Just sit right down here. Harriet and I are just splitting an orange. Split that orange three ways, Harriet.
No orange for me, thank you. Doctor's orders.
Well, what will you have, Mr. Allen?
Well, for breakfast, I generally have just a glass of lukewarm water, and I nibble down to the first knuckle on a lady finger, as a rule.
So, Harriet?
But since I'm on my vacation and living American Plan, I'll have a double order of Wheaties, six poached eggs, a fake slab of fried ham, two coffee rings, and three dozen donuts.
Mr. Allen, isn't all that food going to be a bit of a shock for your stomach?
You're right. I'll cushion the blow with a bowl of strawberries and extra heavy cream.
Is that all?
Yes. I think that will hold me, providing I have a substantial lunch later.
Mr. Allen, excuse me for asking, but do you eat this way at home?
Well, frankly, no. I can't afford it. And now, shall we start? Shall we start breakfast?
Forget my half the orange, Harriet. I'll just take half an aspirin.
I'll take the other half. Ozzy, look at these grocery bills. Donut, $42, and it's only Thursday.
$42. That's a lot of donuts.
Yeah. Every one has been eaten by this boarder of yours, Alan, son of Flicka.
If only he wouldn't take those long walks between meals to work up an appetite.
Now when he goes on those walks, he takes donuts with him.
Last night, watching him eat that double filet mignon with the donuts on top, I got so nervous I choked on my crust of bread.
We've got to get rid of him. Give him his money back.
But, Harriet, I haven't got the $50. I paid Thornberry for the trailer.
Ozzy, Allen has got to go. He came here for a rest. Well, from tonight on, he's not going to sleep a wink.
That's an idea. I'll go up to the attic and pound on the ceiling of his room all night with a broom handle. Has he gone to bed yet?
I think so. I just heard the icebox door close.
Quick, Harriet, the broom.
Ozzy, you look awful.
Well, I haven't slept for two nights. Oh, if we could only get rid of Alan.
All he does is eat and sleep.
Thursday night, I pounded with that broom all night.
He came down in the morning and said there was a woodpecker on the roof calling his mate.
Friday night, I stood in front of his door for 8 straight hours playing my saxophone.
Every neighbor on the block called the police.
And Alan, he'd just wake up long enough to yell out a request number and then doze off again.
Ozzy, I refuse to spend another day in the kitchen cooking. I got dishpan hands clear up to my elbows.
Oh, please, Harriet, it's only 3 more weeks.
I don't care if it's only 3 more minutes. Alan goes today. The method is up to you, and remember, a wife can't testify against her husband.
I hear footsteps. Ah, good morning, folks. Yes, what a day. The usual breakfast, Harriet. 8 poached eggs and 3 dozen donuts.
Ozzy, this is the last straw. Remember what I said. Today.
But, Harry,
you young married people with your little love spat.
Mr. Allen, frankly, things have reached a crisis.
Now, when Harriet comes back, Oswald, just kiss her. Ask her to forgive you.
No, I mean about your staying here.
Well, I'm having a wonderful time. Gad, I can't understand it. I've gained 70 pounds.
It's the kids. You see, Dave and Ricky. You see, they're coming back from camp unexpectedly. Yes, that's it. And they'll need their room, so you'll have to go.
Now, wait a minute, Nelson. Just a minute. I paid you for 4 weeks American plan, $50.
I know, but Mr. Allen...
However, I happen to be a reasonable man if I'm not wanted here.
Mr. Allen, you mean you'll go?
I will go, but I will expect to be reimbursed. My railroad fare here, the cost of my vacation at some swanky resort for the next 3 weeks. I want money for 3 dozen donuts on my trip, and Mr. Nelson, I'll take the cash right now.
Cash. Where can I get the cash? Harriet, he's gone. Mr. Allen's gone.
Oh, Ozzy, quick, let's pack.
Pack?
Sure, hook the trailer on our car. Lake to Hatchapoo, here we come.
Harriet, about the trailer.
Ozzy, we do have a trailer.
Yes, Harriet, we do have the trailer, but...
But what?
Well, to get the money to get Alan out of the house, I had to sell the car.
Ozzy!
Lake to Hatchapoo, here we stay.
Before you mind, you remember Tenderly Seen 7 Tuesday shopping days. Next week, make your farewell radio experience of the season. Dr. Rockwell, thank you and good night.
Thank you.
Good night. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.